Amen. God would die for one. Praise the Lord for that. Acts chapter 1. Let's stand together, read a few verses here. Yesterday, as I was preaching to the young men in the Fulton Treatment Center, I asked them this question. What would you like to be doing 15 years from now? And they gave me answers. I said, what would you like to be doing 20 years from now? And they gave me an answer. And I said, what about 30 years from now? And different of them gave me answers. And I heard different answers from those guys. It's nice to hear some aspirations in that place. One of them wants to be a biologist. That was impressive. One of them wants to be a rap producer. Anyway, but I heard different answers from those young men. And I said, okay, what do you want to be doing 40 years from now? Oh, man. What about 50 years from now? And I said, what about 100 years from now? And they said, well, we'll all be dead. I said, all right, what about 200 years from now? 300 years from now? 400 years from now? The point was, wherever you're doing 100 years from now, you'll be doing 500 years from now, 5 million years from now, 500 million years from now. 20 years from now, you might be somewhere different. 10 years from now, 5 years from now, 25 years from now. But we'll all be at one of two places 100, 200, 300, 400, 500 years from now, guaranteed. And I want to preach briefly on the thought as we continue our series of Above and Beyond. You can't go above and beyond, or you're going above and beyond, but not from this place. I want to preach on not from this place. Look at verse 24 here. The Bible says, and they prayed and said, Thou Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men. They're trying to pick somebody now to replace Judas. Show whether these two thou hast chosen that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell. Watch this. That he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Father, I thank you today for this truth. And Lord, it's important from every few months to be reminded and hit the reset button on the preaching of hell. And Lord, I pray today that you'd, especially first and foremost, if somebody today does not know for sure they're going to heaven, we know the value of one to you. You sent your son to die for that one. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for living again for me. I pray you save that soul. I pray that his hearts would be stirred as a result of this message. Lord, I pray that you challenge us in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Let me first off say, right now, off the bat, I am so glad that I'm not going to hell today. I said I'm not going to hell. Paulette, I'm never going to touch hell. I'm never going to touch hell. Somebody took my smiley face frisbee. It's gone. My smiley face ball, it's gone. Maybe got moved around or shuffled around during the youth conference, all the decorations. But I used to have that little smiley face. Oh, look, I'm happy I'm not going to hell. Let's just get that out of the way. I thank God I'm not going to hell. I think America needs a revival of people that are saved to get excited about the fact that they're not going to hell. We all have bad days and rough times and go through circumstances and situations, but it's encouraging today to stand up and look in the mirror and say, I thank God no matter what happens, I'm not going to hell. I heard a preacher preach just a few weeks ago at one of the conferences I was at. He said, listen, everybody in this room deserves hell. So if you're complaining about your wife, thank God for her because she's better than you deserve because you deserve hell. If you're complaining about the car you're driving right now, thank God for that car because it's better than what you deserve because you deserve hell. If you're complaining about the house you're living in right now, thank God for that house because it's better than what you deserve because you deserve to be burning in hell. And I thought, boy, if we get that in our lives, it might change our lives to really believe that. I'm not going to hell. I've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about being baptized. I'm not talking about being a good person. I'm talking about I got saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. I personally experienced salvation as the Bible teaches. I thank God He is my personal Savior, my personal Redeemer. I thank God I'm trusting in Jesus Christ to get me to heaven and Him alone, plus nothing, minus nothing. It's Jesus and Jesus alone. And I thank God for that today. If you're saved today, you're going to heaven. If you're saved today, you're going to a place that's just as real as this auditorium is today. In fact, I believe it's more real. But if you're not saved today, you're going to a place that's just as real as this auditorium, and it's a place called hell. I'm going to say right now, first of all, that I thank God I'm not going to hell. But if I was to go to hell, I'd rather go from some other country besides the United States of America. I'd rather go from some communist or Muslim country or even a dead church, false religion, or false cult. Not from an independent Baptist church, especially one like this that preaches the gospel week in and week out. In other words, if I was to go to hell, I would not want to go to hell from this place. Not from this place. Look at chapter 1 again with me at Acts chapter 1. Let's back up and read the whole context here. In verse 17, the Bible's telling a story about Judas. And Judas is, of course, one of the disciples. And if anybody could have said, I don't want to go to hell from this place, it should have been Judas. And yet Judas went to hell from the very ministry of Jesus Christ. Verse 17, it says, for he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch that the field is called in their proper tongue Akedema, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Wherefore of these men, which have companied with us all the time, the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was named Justus, man, a lot of names, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether these two thou hast chosen. And here's what the Bible says, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. Jesus said in John chapter 14, I go to prepare what? Place for you. There's a place for you in heaven, but there is a place for you in hell. What is your choice today? God loves you. God shed his blood for you via his son on the cross. God said, I love the world that I gave my only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I want to give you four quick things about what you should really think about as far as not going to hell. And again, if you leave this building today lost and on your way to hell, God help you. I'm giving you a chance right now by the Bible, by the preaching of the Word of God, by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that there is hope for you today to get saved by Jesus Christ. Number one, don't go to hell from this place. Don't go to hell from this place. Again, verse 17, for he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. How about this? You have a place that you call your home. You have the place that you call your home church. You have a home pastor. Some of you teenagers have a home youth director that works with you. You have a home ministry, a home Sunday school teacher. You have a home song leader. You have home deacons. You have home people in the church. It's our home church, we call it. And listen, this is our home country. May I say to you, God help us. There's no reason why anybody should die and go to hell from a church like this, especially in the United States of America. I have no fear of preaching this today. I'm not worried about being arrested because I'm preaching about this. You say, man, preacher, I don't want to go to a church that says you're going to hell. I'm not preaching today that you're going to hell. I'm telling you the fact is this. God loves you and died on the cross and provided the way for you to get out of hell. And without Jesus Christ, you are going to hell. God's not really sending people to hell. You've chosen to go to hell by rejecting his gift in Jesus Christ. If I was to go to hell, I would not want to go from this place. Number two, I would dead sure not want to go from his presence. Look at John chapter 18 with me real quick. I want you to back up just a few chapters from Acts chapter 1. John chapter 18, verse 1. The Bible says, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden into the which he entered and his disciples. Look at verse 2. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place. Isn't it interesting how much the word place shows up? For Jesus oft times resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. They're about to arrest Jesus Christ right now. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said to them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. By the way, another account of the Gospels, Judas actually kissed the cheek of Jesus Christ to show who was supposed to get arrested. Listen to me. I would not want to go to hell from the presence of Jesus Christ. I believe this church still sees the presence of Jesus Christ. I believe Jesus Christ meets with us here. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't want to preach today. I believe that Jesus Christ still has his presence in America. He still meets with people. The Bible still promises that where two or more are gathered together, he is in the midst. And by the way, I'll say this. You cannot get saved without Jesus' presence. You cannot get saved without the presence of God. I always love what Brother Ben Carlisle always said. I got saved in the presence of God. It doesn't matter what state you were in or what church you were in. You will always get saved in the presence of God. Hey, listen, he stood in the presence of Jesus Christ. And some of you today, you heard a song about Be Thou My Vision. You heard a song about the value of one. You stood in the presence of Jesus Christ. And without Jesus Christ today, you could slip and go into hell from the very presence of Jesus Christ. I remind you of this because I never get tired of saying this. We need to hear this again and again. But I was going soul winning many years ago here at Bible Baptist Church. We're still in the old building. And I try to preach on hell pretty regularly. And I probably don't preach on it enough because we're too comfortable in America. We don't want to hear on messages on hell. But I was knocking on doors one day and a man told me he listens to me on the radio every Sunday. And he said, I appreciate how you preach on hell every Sunday. I do not want to be a part of a church that preaches on hell, though. Doesn't make sense, does it? And yet in America today, we've got well-known televangelists and well-known preachers and well-known evangelists that I could name their names that's now saying, I don't think hell has fire. I don't think hell's really a place of total torment and suffering. I don't think it's a place that people will suffer and experience actual pain where they'll be begging for a drop of water. It's just a grave. It's just a separation place from God. And by the way, separation from God is bad enough in itself. And yet I'm simply saying today, there is a real place called hell. I don't care what the televangelists say. I don't care what preachers say. I don't care what doctors say. I don't care what lawyers say. I don't care what professors say. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ said there's a hell. And that's good enough for me. Don't go to hell from this place. Don't go to hell from this presence. Number three, listen to this. Not from this potential. Not from this potential. Go to 2 Peter chapter 3. And again, I read John 3:16. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen to me. I want you to think about something real quickly. The potential for you to get saved in America is greater than any other place in this world. I'm telling you that right now. Now, by the way, God's potential is never limited in and of Himself, but we limit God sometimes in our lack of belief, our lack of faith. But you tell me right now, if you could sit in a street, in a church, in a little building right now in Iran, where Mahmoud, I need a job, is the dictator, wicked dictator of that country right now, who will meet his maker someday for what he says about Israel, who needs to get saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Yes. He needs to get saved by the blood of Jesus Christ or he will go to hell. There's not 72 virgins waiting where he's going. Help me now. I ain't afraid to say it. I'm telling you right now. How could you get saved if you were sitting in a building right now and I was preaching this in Iran? Would you have a good chance of getting saved there? First of all, I probably wouldn't even get through with my message if they found out I was there. They'd execute me on the street. They'd kill me. Oh, no, that's 500. No, that's 2010 right now. It goes on. I know about the organizations that still talk about martyrdom that's going on around the world right now. And we sit in comfortable pews in America and we hear preaching like this. Hey, God help us that we'll hear a message like this and walk out and still reject Jesus Christ as our Savior. And yet people all over this world have never even heard it one time. The potential for somebody to get saved in America is unbelievable. You can still go to Walmart right now and buy, the last time I checked, the King James Bible for $5.97 before taxes. So for under $7, you can buy a King James Bible at Walmart and read the truth if you want today. You can turn on a TV station and turn on a radio, and there's enough truth out there that you could get saved by hearing the radio in America. You can listen to the truth. You can find it in America. And yet the devil's gotten so sly at distracting us from the truth and getting us distracted and off course and off track. And today we just don't care about the things of God anymore. Football takes precedence over the gospel. I mean, work takes precedence over the gospel and different things and money and boats and all those things. And Americans are distracted today and they're riding their boat and they're living their lifestyle and they're going to ball games on their way to a devil's hell. And yet the potential from coast to coast, there's no other place in this world right now where you can get saved better than the United States of America. 2 Peter 3:9 still says this. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises. Some men count slackness, but His long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I know people say all the time that Judas fulfilled prophecy, but I still believe Judas had a chance and could have gotten saved if he wanted to. You'll never convince me otherwise. Judas chose. He chose to allow Satan to use him. I believe Pharaoh could have got saved if he wanted to. The Bible says three times Pharaoh hardened his heart. Three strikes and you're out. After that, the Bible says God hardened his heart. I believe God's always stretched out His hand. He's not slack concerning His promise, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And the potential for Judas to get saved was unmatched. I mean, he was right there with Jesus Christ every single day of his life for 3.5 years. He carried the money for Jesus Christ. He walked with Jesus Christ. He ate meals with Jesus Christ. He had all the potential to get saved in the world and yet died and went to hell. My soul, may God help us today to realize the potential we have in America. We have technology. We have churches. We can bring people freely to old-fashioned churches that still preach the truth. We have comfortable cars to drive in and nice roads. And as you look out this window now, the highways are busy and they're driving all over the place, going here to there. I mean, this country's dying and going to hell. Our city's dying and going to hell. And most of us don't care, and yet we don't realize how much potential there is to get saved in America. Not from this potential. I do want to end on a very positive note, as I always try to do. I said, number one, not from this place. Number two, not from his presence. Number three, not from this potential. Before I do that, I want to read the description of hell. I've read it many times before. I never get tired of it. I've probably read it 12 times this summer, and every time I see God move as I read this, and everything can be backed up by the Bible here. Try to imagine that for every waking moment throughout eternity, your body with the most painful sunburn ever. On top of that, add the pain of your whole frame scalded with boiling water. To this, add the agony of bodily movement. The skin stretches. It feels like countless daggers of pain flash through your body. You want to hold still, but the burning from the flames will not allow it. The bubbling brimstone makes you scream. You feel like your hair is on fire. Your feet and your hands blister while you gnaw and chew on your tongue, trying to ease the torment of the flame. Your throat is raw from screaming and wailing, spasm of anguish dropping into the molten lava, going to the surface once again, gnashing your teeth. The burning brimstone flows into your mouth, runs down your throat and into your stomach. You're on fire literally inside and outside. Lava, red hot, smoking, flowing into your ears as your eyes try to focus on the endless, everlasting, permanent dwelling place of total torment and fire. You look and see as worms have covered your body. You try to beat the worms off your body. They're crawling in you, crawling through you. You scream for water one more time. Water! You're falling in darkness. You bump into something solid. If only you could stop falling as you swim through this big lake of fire. Water, please. Please, just a moment of silence, but it never comes. Where's all the parties now? Where's all the festivities now? Where's all the cable TV now? Where's all the internet access now? Where's all the music and the rock music and the rap music? Where's all the noise that distracted us now? Oh, my soul, the memories. I'm taunted by the memories. The memories of that preached about Jesus and the cross. Memories of when they cleared the choir singing about the cross. Hey, I repent now. Can anybody hear me? I want to be saved now. I remember those people that knocked on my door and invited me to come to church. I remember them warning me of this place they call the place of the damned. I remember hearing them sing about the blood of Jesus. Save me! Save me! It's too late! Your words are not heard! You've arrived to the only place absent of the mercy of God. Wait a minute! Wait a minute! Surely this lasts for just a few months. I can even handle a few years. All of a sudden it dawns on you that you're entrapped in hell forever. You let out one last scream. No! It's real. It's real. See, I don't believe you, preacher. You will. Mark my words and remember this face. You will. And I care enough to warn you and tell you. I'm warning you about something far greater than cancer. Far greater than disease. Far greater than the coming economy crash. I'm not talking about things that are just temporal things. I'm talking about an eternal thing right now. And there is a real place of hell right now that burns with fire. And Christians really don't care anymore. Why do we get backslid? Why do we go out and live for the devil? Some of us are saved, never going to go to hell, but we live like we're going there. We listen to the music of hell. We watch the TV of hell. We surf the internet of hell. We talk like hell. We're not even going to go to hell. God help us. Number four, though, I want to end on a very positive note. If I was to go to hell, I would not want to go from this person. I said, well, not from this place. Number two, not from this. Number one, not from this place, not from his presence, not from the potential. Number four, not from the person. Look at John chapter 14, and I'm done. I love this verse. John chapter number 14, I thank God for this. I never get tired of this verse. Listen, church, I've got good news for you today. There was a man named Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus Christ, I believe he is real. I believe he is the Son of God. I believe he lived on this earth 2,000 years ago. I believe he died on the cross. I believe he was born of a virgin. I believe he lived again 3 days later. I believe he lived a sinless life. Why, preacher? Because the Bible teaches that. I believe he became my substitute on the cross. I believe he shed his blood for me. I believe he endured that crown of thorns and the scourging and the pounding of the nails and all the loss of blood and the separation from God, God his Father. I believe he endured all those things. I believe he endured three literal days in hell as he burned for me in hell so I wouldn't have to go to hell. I believe all those things. Why? I believe he did that because he loves me and the Bible says so. I'm simply saying today, there's hope for you today. You don't have to go to hell. Jesus loves you. He came to save you. He wants to take you to heaven with him someday. Thank God for the person. He says in verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Look at this. And receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I don't know about you. I'd much rather spend all eternity with Jesus than with the devil. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 20 that the devil's going to be cast into the bottomless pit, and the devil's going to have, he's going to be around the lake of fire for all eternity. I don't know about you. I'd rather be with Jesus on streets of cold, hugging his neck, praising his name, worshiping the Son of God, thanking him for saving my soul. I'm simply saying this preaching's gotten so foreign in America. Nobody cares about these things anymore. I say we've got to get back at old-fashioned revival of believing there's a hell, believing that hell is hot, believing that heaven is sweet, and thanking God that Jesus Christ still saves. He still saves. He saves. He saves. He saves. For 18 years of my life, I listened to tons of messages and never heard one message on hell. I went to Protestant churches. I went to Baptist churches. But I thank God I finally found a church that preached the truth. And I heard a message on hell, and it stirred me, and it shook me up. And I thought I had it covered. I was sprinkled as a baby. I was baptized 3 times growing up. I had it covered. But oh, happy day, July 17, 1994, when I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I believed, and He took care of the rest. I'm saved today. I'm not going to hell. God pity me if I don't share that with everybody here today. I'm responsible to you, and to this community, to my family, to my neighbors, to my friends, to coworkers, to whoever, right now to tell you, Jesus still saves. Jesus still saves. Again, I'm done. I'm thankful that I'm not going to hell. Did y'all get that yet? I'm very thankful I'm not going to hell. I'm talking about what I'm trying to say is I'm very thankful I'm not going to hell. I mean, I'm really going to heaven someday. But I would not want to go from this place, from His presence, from this potential, and from the person of Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Amen.
Yes.
Because of where he is.